Will you like to turn to Isaiah chapter 40? And we're going to read verses 25 to 31. I know this is the right scripture because it's on the front of John's Bible case. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one, calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired nor weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This month we're following the Advent theme, and each week up to Christmas we'll look at one of the Advent topics of either hope, peace, joy, or love. And this week we're beginning the series by looking at hope. This evening I want to talk about this single most important word for coping with all the seasons in our lives. When babies are born and when loved ones die, when it's time to plant and when it's harvest time, when it's a time of war and it's a time of peace, when it's a time to weep and when it's time to laugh, when it's time to search for what is lost, and when it's time to give up the search, when it's time to tear apart, and when it's time to mend what is torn, then the single most important attitude that we must have is hope. Yes. A favourite Bible verse in this church is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. How many of us would say that this is one of our favourite verses? This verse promises a hope and a future. And hope and future always go together in the seasons of life. Yeah. I have to admit, though, that as with a lot of words, the word hope has changed its meaning somewhat in these modern times. More often than not, when we use the word, it has little or nothing to do with the way the Bible uses the word. It's a weak and ineffectual way that the word's tossed around that seems to be not quite right. I think that when we hear someone say, I hope, they usually mean, I wish. We go to the cinema and say, I hope this is going to be a good film. We order stuff on the internet and say, I hope I get what I ordered. What we mean is that it's our wish for that outcome. But that isn't what the Bible means when it uses the word hope. When the Bible refers to hope, it doesn't mean I wish. In fact, it means I have confidence. Yes. It's not I hope so, but it's actually I hope so, I have confidence. I hope so I'm not afraid. I hope so I can walk into the future. It's the gift of hope that God wants to give us. Yeah. Excuse me. Hope is not just being an optimist. It's a common mistake to mistake hope and optimism. The optimist sees the glass as half full. The pessimist sees the glass as half empty. Some people don't even see the glass. But the person of hope sees that the glass is firmly held in the hand of God. And that's the good news for some of you who are pessimists. You feel like you can never be hopeful. Yeah. But actually, you can be pessimistic and hopeful. You can recognise that even in a world where things aren't perfect, God is still in control. He's got the whole world in his hands, and therefore we have hope. A four-word definition of hope is, God is in control. When one sees that, it changes everything in life. When I realise that God's purpose will always prevail, I have hope. People need hope. People are longing for hope. People just do about anything if there is hope. But when there's no hope, what is left? Where do we turn? Statistics reveal that cases of depression continue to rise in percentage terms every year in this country. Suicide is now the 8th leading cause of death in our country. News commentators commonly refer to Generation X. Well, they mean those born after 1960, but born before the millennials. And they refer to them as the hopeless generation. But no generation today has a monopoly on hopelessness. All ages need hope. I think the Generation X's are just more honest about it. They are looking, excuse me, they are looking for authentic relationships and meaningful experiences, and often they don't find them. I mean, just look around. We're living longer. We've never had more. Never in human history have so many had so much for so long and be so depressed about it. We need hope, the kind of hope that God gives, the kind of hope that changes everything. What happens when we have hope, when God brings that hope into our life? Well, first of all, if I have hope, I can get started. What gets you started in the morning when you wake up? What gets your motor going? What will cause you to hit the floor ready to take on a new day? What helps you to say, "Good morning, Lord," rather than, "Good Lord, it's morning"? In our text this evening, we're reading Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God's hope can get us started. Every day we can somehow plug into the eternal purposes of God, and that should get our motors running. Yes. I saw a fairly familiar story the other day when I was preparing this sermon, but it bears repeating, so I'll repeat it. A man walked upon a gang of workmen on a construction site, and he asked one man, "What are you doing today?" The worker wondered, "What does it look like? I'm mixing mortar." He asked another man the same question, and again the curt reply came, "I'm laying bricks." He saw another man working diligently in another area of the work site and said, "What kind of work are you doing today?" The worker looked up and said, "I'm building a great cathedral." What's your attitude? Is it just a job, something that can earn a living? Or are we plugged in to the eternal purposes of God? If I have hope, I can get started. But also, if I have hope, I can live with, and you can fill in the blank. You can live with whatever burden is in your life at this very time. It's hope that enables us to handle tremendous pressure. People who have hope can handle incredible burdens in their lives. Those day-by-day burdens. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 wrote about the ministry burdens that he had because of the persecution he faced in his life. He said, "We have had great burdens that were beyond our own strength. We even gave up hope of living." Some of us may feel like that today, and we know just how he felt. But then he continues, "But this happened so that we would trust not in ourselves, but in God." Even at that point when he wondered, "Am I going to make it at all?" he was able to find hope. He could live with anything because of the hope that God gave him. In the same way, if I have hope, I can live with whatever comes my way. And then, if I have hope, I can go on. Hope gives us a strength to go on. Hope is what gives us a strength to go on after a loss, of a disappointment, of a dream that once more refuses to come alive. Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. Then on July the 4th, 1951, she was going to swim the 26 miles between Catalina Island and the Californian coastline. She didn't quite make it, but it wasn't the cold water, and it wasn't the sharks, and it wasn't the 15 or 16 hour swim. It was the fact that the fog rolled in and she couldn't see the coastline. She quit half a mile from the goal. When she got out of the water, she said, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I feel that if the fog hadn't been there and I could have seen the land, I would have made it. Later on, she tried again. The fog rolled in again, but this time she knew that the coastline was there, and she completed it. In fact, she did it 2 hours less time than anybody else had ever done. Even in the fog of doubts and fears and discouragement, God's promises are immovable. They're always going to be there. You might not be able to see them, but hope gives you the knowledge that the faithfulness of God is there, and therefore you can go on. In John chapter 11, we see where Mary and Martha were in despair because Jesus arrived too late to help their brother Lazarus, who was sick and who had then died. Whatever else they might have thought in their grief and despair, Jesus was 4 days late. But when he arrived, he called the 3-day dead Lazarus to life, and Lazarus walked out of the tomb. Yes. God is always on time. Hope is out there. If I have hope, I could go on into the future. 1 Peter 1:6 tells us, "In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of troubles." There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. When I have hope, I can get started and live with whatever comes, and I can continue on. But then if I have hope, I can slow down. Hope is what gives me the ability to slow down in this busy life. Life gets out of balance when too much becomes too important. Sometimes you may be in the supermarket and see the hand baskets and think, "I don't need a basket, I'm only going to get a few items." But as you go around the shelves, you see things that you could do with, and pretty soon you're standing in the express checkout line with an armful of stuff. The person ahead is writing a check, and you get rather irritated because it's taking too long. And that's a parable of what's happening in our schedules. Wanting to save a few moments at the checkout line is not the way to solve my busy schedule. Life gets out of balance when too much becomes too important. Without hope, we're always in a hurry. We don't know where we're headed, but we're always in a hurry to get there. It seems an old and ironic habit of human beings that we always run faster when we've lost our way. We don't know where we're headed, but we think we have to put more energy in life in order to get somewhere. We live in a society that is desperately in need of rest. A few weeks ago, I was reading about the amount of holiday time people get around the world after working at a company for just 1 year. In Brazil and Austria, after working at a job for a year, people get 30 days of holiday. In Sweden, it's 25 days. In Germany, it's 24 days. In the US, it's 10 days. In the UK, it's 28 days. So how are we going to get any more holiday unless we move to Austria or Brazil? How can we find rest in our busy lives? It's hope that enables us to slow down just a little bit, to realise that we don't have to rush through quite so fast, because we know where life is headed. Psalm 62 verse 5 encourages us, "I find rest in God, only He gives me hope." Hope and rest go together. Without hope, you'll find you're very restless. But with hope, you have the power to be rested. If I have hope, I can slow down. And just one last thing. If I have hope, I have the power to say no. I can get started. I can live with whatever. I can go on. I can slow down. I can also say no to the temptations of life. Hope is the foundation of integrity. If I have no hope for the future, if I think there's nothing out there for me, then, to be quite honest, there's no logical reason to have integrity. I may be quite a moral person anyway, but there's no logical reason to be so, because it doesn't really matter. Just eat, drink and be merry, because tomorrow we die. If there's nothing out there, then nothing matters. But for the believer, hope is the foundation for genuine wholeness. 1 John 3:3 says, "Everyone who has this hope in Christ keeps himself pure just as Christ is pure. That's the power of hope in our lives. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy the hope God wants to give you. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In the New Testament, the word hope occurs only once before the resurrection of Jesus. That's in Matthew 12:21, when a prophecy of Isaiah is ascribed to Jesus. But the word hope occurs 70 times after the resurrection of Christ. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out where the hope comes from. Hope begins at the darkest places in our lives, and it explodes onto the scene with the resurrection power. Look at the symbol of our faith, the cross. Many of us wear a cross around our necks, but it was an instrument of execution and shame in Jesus' day. Yet the cross is a perfect illustration of our faith. It was a dark place that God turned into a resurrection. If you want a picture of how God transforms the problems of the world into a means of grace and blessing, don't look any further than the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He took the evil that was done on the cross and turned it into resurrection that brings us light and eternal hope. The cross tells us that he not only understands our pain, he can transform our pain. Therefore, we have the confidence that in all seasons of life, hope endures. I heard of a man who walked up to a young boy sitting on a bench during a cricket match. The match had already started, and the man said to the little boy, "How's it going?" The little boy looked up and said, "We're behind 118-0, but we haven't been into bat yet." And some of you feel as if you are behind 118-0, but in many ways we haven't been up to bat yet. But there is hope out there in the future, in that it's indescribable. It's a place called heaven. It's a perfect hope. It's also known as the blessed hope. It's something that this world can't give, and nothing in this world can take away. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 21 and 22 says, "But I have a hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop." You don't have to wait for hope to begin. God's hope gives us a purpose for the future to begin again. He gives us the patience to endure whatever. He gives us persistence to keep on keeping on. He gives us a peace that our hearts are at rest. He gives us the power to stay the course. We need hope in all the seasons of life, and the great news is that God wants you to have it. God loves you and has a purpose for your life. God is at work in your life even though you can't see it. God will honour his promises. Isaiah 49 verse 23 says, "Those who hope in me will not be disappointed." So this Christmas, in and among the frantic shopping and festivities, when everything's getting just a little bit too much, take a moment to reflect that the hope we have is in the one who holds the glass in his hand and who is never, ever late. Amen.